We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
We're gonna play on and stand strong with Jolo and Dibs. Turn the game on, pump up the volume. It's time to play ball with Jolo and Dibs. Turn the game on.
Lowe's confused. That's how we like it around these parts. Lowe's confused very early in the day. Come on, big man. Treat it as therapy. Welcome to the show. Lay it out for the people.
Wow. 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 This college four thing's got me twisted. It's got me shook up. I'm looking for Joe Dibs for answers. Somebody help me out here. Don't know who's going to get in. Ask Joe a question. He gave me an answer. I tried to twist him. He said, "Lo, not so fast. You didn't say that." Slapped me around right there. And I was like, let me get back in line. It's a lot going on.
You tried to twist him up a little bit. You tried to give him the old okie doke, but he was sharp. He was very sharp now. 5:59. He wasn't yet focused.
I tried to slide in there.
He wasn't focused on the show. He was focused in that moment. He got you.
Guy's been on the phone all morning. 90 seconds before the show starts, he looks at me and goes, "Minnesota or Oregon, who has a better chance at the playoff?" I said, "Oregon," and I thought about it. I go, "No, Minnesota runs the table. They win the Big Ten championship. They're in." He goes, "All right, so Minnesota runs the table and they're in." Didn't say that.
Mm.
You wanted to know versus Oregon. And he goes, "Well, who's in?" And he gives me some cockamamie scenario. It's like, "Well, what if LSU loses to Georgia in the SEC championship?" Well, then LSU's out. So LSU's out and Alabama's in after Alabama lost to LSU.
And I'm done.
And then the show started, and now he's completely confused.
Yeah, as we all are, and that's
Thank
why
you.
What happens when you put
out.
9 seconds into the thought process?
No, trust me, that's why it doesn't.
You've been on this all morning.
That's why I've been this twisted all morning.
He's been on the phone with Kirk Herbstreit actually for the past 45 minutes. He
hasn't
even tried to break it down. So.
All right, welcome to the show, Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The game. Does Lo know? It's Thursday.
Evidently, no,
he's off to a terrible start. He's off to a terrible start. Write it down though. We're changing times. Today's mystery guest could not come on at the normal time of 7:45, so it's just over an hour from now. It's 7:15. 7:15, does Lo know? 10 questions to see if he can identify the mystery guest. Ross Tucker, former NFLer, currently with Radio.com. He'll join us at 8:05. Brad Evans, fantasy football extraordinaire, 9:05. Jesse Sapalu, four-time Super Bowl champ at 9:30. Let's get weird. Let's get real weird, like that press conference at Oracle yesterday. How you feeling about the Giants and their decision to hire Gabe Kapler after watching yesterday's introductory press conference?
Not feeling any better, Joe, after going through it. And, you know, you and I were poking through the full hour this morning. The whole thing was a bit of a meandering, not excuse fest, but a lot of just words to not really describe exactly what people were looking for.
There were lots of words.
Lots of words. Gabe Kapler, Lo speaks for, and Farhan, for a good 22 minutes before they take the first question. And then it goes for another basically 35 minutes, nearly a full hour. And at the end of the hour, you still have the same questions about what happened in L.A., the same questions about can he really manage a team. He's as polarizing, in my opinion, now as he was 24 hours ago.
Heading into the press conference, you knew it was going to be awkward. Awkward's the word everyone's using to describe yesterday's press conference. I think it's the most popular word coming out of everyone's mouth when asked to describe it. What'd you think of Gabe Kapler's introductory press conference? It was awkward. You guys talked about it this morning.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Yeah, we said awkward and uncomfortable.
Awkward and uncomfortable. Nice guy. Are you in agreement with that as well?
Awkward was the only word mm-hmm. I used to describe it.
And you're not the only two saying that. People who are writing about it, people who are tweeting about it, they're using the word awkward. That's fine, because we all knew going in it was going to be awkward. The problem is, what coming out, you should be feeling a little bit more comfortable, right? You should feel a little bit more comfortable with the hire. You went in with lots of questions, and coming out, their job at that press conference was to answer questions and make you feel better about the situation. I'm not necessarily sure that happened.
Right.
That, I think, is the ultimate confusion right
now.
They
answered questions, but I don't feel any better coming out of it. And the word awkward is perfect when you describe it. And unusual as well, because normally when you have these moments, the new skipper puts on the jersey and the hat, and it's nothing but softballs and glad to see you and happy you're here. But in this case, it kept circling back to what happened in L.A., and it never felt like they had all their ducks in a row as to what they were going to say. They blamed the legal department. They said that he said he was over his skis. I know we're going to play a lot of the sound from the press conference, but they kept going back to it low, and each and every time it kept getting more nebulous as to what they were trying to say.
I can see why in that regard, to understand why it seems awkward and like, God, I didn't get anywhere. But it's like when Tom Sula took the job, you felt awkward, you had concerns, but awkward in a way that you said, this is not going to work. It you knew that he did not have the three C's, credibility, the competency, and character to be a head coach. Now, did you feel, that's what you got to ask yourself, did you feel that way yesterday about this, or was this because you didn't get the answers you were looking for about a situation that had legal, that had organization, that had coaches, that had more than one, more than two, more than three? It's a lot of different things that they have involved. Did they sign a deal where, you know, the gag order, you can't talk about it, certain things, all those other things. So, but did they push? Is that the most uncomfortable deal that you got out of it? Say it's about an issue rather than about a managerial. So I think you got to separate both and put two in two different things and understand you don't feel great and you feel awkward about that situation because the answers never came out. It's a blurry, it's a murky. I understand that's a totally different situation than what you're talking about. Can the guy has the managerial skills to take this Giants to the next level? I think you got to look at these two different things. Do you feel awkward about coaching? And mostly awkward about that incident because the incident was horrible. We understand that, and we didn't really necessarily get any clarity. So how are you?
Well, there's questions about his coaching based on what happened in Philadelphia, where you had some players loving him, some players not necessarily.
About that though,
no, you can't. That can't get answered until he actually gets in the clubhouse and starts to work with these guys. Remember, you do have a core group of veterans who have been around almost as long as he have, and have done a lot of things here in San Francisco. Bochy's guys, so to speak. The thing that was most maybe disturbing for me is that you had 5 years, if you're Farhan Zaidi and Gabe Kapler, to really work through how you were going to address this situation. And when the questions came up yesterday, it didn't feel like they were, as Joe says, buttoned up. It felt like Gabe Kapler in particular was just meandering from cliche to expression. He was over-talking it, trying to make it seem like all these things were happening. But when you look at it, he said nothing.
Simplify. Again, this was too many smart people overcomplicating a situation that didn't need to be overcomplicated. The reality is you're getting up on a dais is the pronunciation. You're getting up on a dais, and it's an introductory press conference. And you know what's coming. That's the best part. You're not going to get hit with any sort of, you know, revelatory bomb that comes out of left field. The reality is you know what's going to be addressed. You know what you want to address. You have time to prep. So in that situation, you should, as I like to say, win the press conference. You don't need to come out with everyone going, man, we had this guy wrong. You just need people coming out feeling comfortable. And you didn't necessarily do a good job of that because you overcomplicated it. There were so many words. There was so much dialogue. Get out there and go full Andy Pettit. That should be the number one introductory class when you take a public relations course or you get into the field of public relations and marketing, is how Andy Pettit dealt with being nailed for taking PEDs. Think about how everyone else did it. They denied, they lied, they blamed other people, they went to court. Pettit got up on the dais by himself. He wasn't in a suit. He didn't try to be anyone other than himself, and he just admitted it. He told you why he took it. He took PEDs because he was coming back from injury and he wanted to get back faster. He apologized. There were no excuses. He was fully accountable. And to this day, people forget that he was one of the PED guys because it happened so quick and everyone was okay with that. That's what people want to see. They just want you to be accountable. They just want you to come out and own it. And when you do that, people feel comfortable because part of us, and this is an ego thing, we feel a little bit better seeing you get knocked down. Right. People saw Andy Pettit get knocked down, and now he goes from superstar pitcher who thinks he's above the law to, man, he's owning it. He's being honest. He's being humbled. He's being humiliated. I feel a little bit better about that. I feel a little bit better about myself. OK, I can accept this. Meanwhile, Palmeiro's in front of Congress pointing at senators, Bonds and McGuire and everyone are yelling and screaming. Everyone, Roger Clemens yelling at everybody. It's like, that's all you're going to do is come out looking like the bad guy. Yesterday, you just needed to sit down and you needed to launch right into that. You needed to own it and just focus on it. It's my fault. It's my fault. Shouldn't have done it. Hate the fact that I didn't go to the police. And people come out and they think, man, this guy really feels bad about that. That's okay. All right. I can get behind that. Instead, it was lots of words. There were just so many words about everything. And ultimately, that's where you kind of lose people, because today they should be feeling confident about moving forward with you rather than dissecting your press conference. I want to get more into this. I want to bring the listeners in as well. 888-957-9570 if you have thoughts. But first, nice guy, Steven. What's up with the Warriors?
What's up with the Warriors is brought to you by Ceramani Ford, your San Francisco Ford dealer. The Warriors are 2-10 on the season after the 120-94 defeat to the Lakers. D'Angelo Russell with 21 points. He's averaged 34 points per game, Dave, since coming back from that ankle injury. They have a day off today and are back against the 9-1 Celtics tomorrow. Catch that all right here on 95.7 The Game. That was terrible, guys.
It's the score, nice guy.
Again, too many words. Just give me the score.
Button up. I got to give you 20 seconds.
So say the score and then give the sponsor and have one witty line.
Get out.
It's too much. That's going to be today. No commercials.
No.
It's just so many words. Just the most verbose show you've ever had. Question for you. Culture. The giant culture. Does it need to change? Joe Lowe and Dibs. Back with that next year on 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowe and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
You ask me a question, I give you a response, and then he comes back and he goes, man, you got me all twisted up. Why'd you have to do that to me?
It was on me. Yeah. I just thought, you know what, Dibs?
Accountability.
It is. Yeah, it is. So we'll talk about the easy stuff, the stuff that we know. Because this College Four thing is no one. This one this year, Dibs going to be a really, really.
You got to let it play out.
Not. And
at the end
of
it,
easy.
Someone's
it's easy
getting
every
screwed.
Year. I'm sorry to interrupt. It's easy every year. This whole idea that the notion's hard, they're geniuses the way they structure the playoff. It's all going to play itself out perfectly. Clemson goes undefeated. There's one of your spots.
Right.
If Ohio State goes undefeated, there's one of your spots. Now we've already taken care of 50% of it. Just like that, with me barely spending 10 seconds on the situation, 50% of your problem is solved. LSU goes undefeated, they're in. LSU loses to just Georgia in the SEC championship game, they're still in if it's a good loss. And then we need to find a fourth spot. We'll consider Oregon, but we'll ultimately say no because the Pac-12 just, no. Georgia, no. Nah. If they end up winning in the SEC title game, they're probably in if they beat LSU. It's a credible win. It's all very, very easy. Happy to take you through it later. I'll take you by the hand. I'll walk you outside. I'll talk nice to you.
And I'll bet
you. And then I'll lay it all out.
And I'll bet you won't get all four of them. That's how tough it is this year. I'll make
Please.
That bet. Lock it up.
Okay, so what is the bet you're proposing? Is that I need to pick all four teams now?
That's what I'm looking at. I'm like, okay, already you know right now, if you looked at this thing, Alabama don't lose another game. Alabama's probably going to be in. Even
how? How can you say that?
That's why I'm quite
Clemson
sure.
Clemson goes undefeated, they're in. Ohio State goes undefeated, they're in. LSU goes undefeated, they're in. So now you're talking about Alabama getting the fourth spot without a single credible win on their resume, because there's nothing left that's going to look good.
I know, but it's Alabama, and I'm just telling you, I just believe that those white, they're going to put them in. I think it's hard for you not to say that, though. You know that. It's tough. It's a tough call to say you're going to just bounce
All
Alabama.
Right. All right. We will get into this later.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you're this passionate about this. Thank you very much. The Gabe Kapler situation. Yesterday, the word awkward's being thrown around a lot as to how it played out. Very long press conference. I don't think anyone went in thinking it was going to be a great press conference. But I've got good news for you. I've got good news specifically for the Giants. Not necessarily for the fans, but I got good news for the Giants. You're through the hardest part of all of this. We have a very short attention span as a society, so your entire goal now is to just not address this anymore. You're done. The sexual assault stuff, the stuff in Philadelphia, it's all over. Move past, throw some baseball news out there. Wouldn't be the worst idea if you were announcing some sort of Timmy Lincecum night next year, or you had just something people could grab onto. But even if you don't have that, just don't say anything else, and we're all on to the next thing. It's the Bay Area. Everybody had their shot yesterday. Everybody's going to move on. The Niners have a big game against Arizona. The Warriors continue to play basketball. Before you know it, we're going to work our way into Thanksgiving. We're going to work our way into Christmas. We are going to be done with this situation regarding Gabe Kapler. And then it's just going to come down to whether or not the team starts taking steps in the right direction. This is all done. Everyone who wants to make the case that this is such a bad hire for all the things that happened with the Dodgers 5 years ago, it's done. We're past it. Everybody had their crack at it. Everybody can talk about it today, and it's over. So as long as they never bring it up again, we're through it.
Right, through this, but unfortunately, what lies ahead is not necessarily all rose petals and World Series championships in the immediate aftermath, because up next is the roster, and that means Madison Bumgarner. Does Madison Bumgarner stay, or does he go? And if he ends up choosing to go elsewhere, there'll be questions about whether or not the new regime or the culture played a role. Was it no Bruce Bochy, so you decided to leave? And so these things will continue to linger in some way. You're right about the L.A. situation and the sexual assault. All that should be, as far as they stand, that should be over. If they get asked again, it's, look, we addressed this in the press conference and we've moved beyond it. Our advisors are telling us whatever you want to say, but there are tough decisions ahead here as the hot stove eventually heats up.
Do you think anything could happen between now and spring training? Anything within the realm of reasonableness? Say Madison Bumgarner signs elsewhere. They don't necessarily pursue him as aggressively as people would like. That would get them more outraged than they are now?
Maybe.
I think this is it.
Well, if Bumgarner says, look, did you meet with the new manager before you decided to leave? Yeah, he's not really my cup of tea. Or we're not cut from the same cloth. Shout out Draymond Green. If something like that comes out, and I doubt it will, because that's not who Bumgarner is.
You do feel that this is a bit of a stretch.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, if Brandon Belkin,
you're giving me an example.
Maybe
Belkin's
traded, right? Belkin's traded to the Miami Marlins. He's like, man, I don't want to go to Miami. And he gets asked, was it, you know, how do you feel about it? Well, you know, Farhan's this or Kapler's that. Those things could come up. It's unlikely, but that's the only thing that could possibly derail it.
Even then, it's Brandon Belt. You move on from the deal. I don't think anyone's going to get all that worked up about that.
The fan base, though, if you had to choose between Brandon Belt and Gabe Kapler right now, you would take Brandon Belt.
I mean, you think?
You would take almost every Giant. Yeah, the fan base is not sold on Gabe Kapler. He's got to go out and do well, and he's got to have the veterans support him. This thing's got to get turned around, or he's going to be a scapegoat.
Yeah, it's just about winning. I think that you look at any coach, you know, Kyle Shanahan, is he too young of a coach from baseball, basketball? It doesn't matter. Steve Kerr, is Steve Kerr going to be able to win, turn this team around? You got talent, you're going to win. Especially if you got the right coaching with that talent, you can win. So Kapler, he's got an uphill battle. He does. But if he goes out here and puts together a team and they're competing, they're in games and they're competing, they go out and bring in some splashy guys and do what they can do, and you watch what they do in the form system and people begin to build and they do those things, fans are willing to, they're willing to go for this ride. It was a situation where you had arguably a Hall of Fame skipper that everyone wants to say and talk about, and all of a sudden he's run out. He still wanted to coach. How the fans take it? They're taking it pretty well because they were ready to move. Bottom line, they'll still love you, but if you keep losing, it's just a matter of this time for people to want. They want change. That's just the world we live in. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you're doing. It doesn't matter any profession. If you're not having success, people, they'll still love you, but they want change. And right now, we got change. If Bochy, if the skipper was still winning, he would still be there. The reason why they overhauled this organization from front office and everything is because they wanted to change and they wanted wins.
You need to change the culture. Everyone is of the opinion that this culture is so wonderful, that Bochy had this great culture. The culture around the Giants is great. It's not great. It's not great. You may have liked your skipper and you may have gotten along, but you lost. You lost a lot. I don't think people realize just how much losing has taken place here. See, this is what happens when you glob on to the 3-5, right? The 3-5, the triplets. That was 2014. That was 5 years ago was the tail end of that. Half a decade ago. Since that time, you have gone 385 and 425. You are 40 games under 500. You made one playoff appearance, which Bochy severely mismanaged at the end of game four with that bullpen, because you could have had Cueto on the mound in game five back at Wrigley. And since then, you've had three straight losing seasons. It is a losing culture. That's it. I know that's hard because everyone loves the skipper, the former skipper, that is. And I know that everyone loves the Brandons and Buster and Timmy Lincecum and Matt Cain. That was a great era. You'll never be able to take anything away from that era. But the era's over. People need to get past all of it. Bochy's gone. The front office is gone. It's a new era. And you don't have to agree with the hires, but you have to understand it's time to move on. What do you want? Do you want losing? Do you want to be happy losing? No. That's for the Detroit Tiger fans. Like, you can go ahead and be happy trying to threaten 75 wins. This is a losing culture that needs to change. And I'll tell you what about Kapler as a manager. There are so many people bashing the hire. I'm starting to think it's a great move. I'm starting to think that this guy's going to turn the whole thing around. Everybody's out there telling me how bad this is. How often is everybody right? When you see the entire length of media line it up, man, I don't know about this guy. You know what? That makes me feel pretty good. That makes me feel pretty good when everyone's lining up to say no. And if everyone was lining up to say yes, I'd be sitting there going, I'm not so sure about this. I'm not so sure. We'll have more of this coming up later. It's brought to you by Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromises. The Warriors last night get blown out by the Lakers, LeBron James. Of course, he had to take a shot. We'll have the audio for you next. But first, here's Anna with what's coming up on the game.
All right, thanks, Joe. What's coming up on the game is sponsored by Wave Broadband. We're reacting to Gabe Kapler's introduction as the Giants' new manager. Do you feel better or worse after the press conference? The most common word to describe the day? Awkward. We'll play the highlights from the press conference and want to hear your thoughts. Warriors lose their fifth straight after falling to the Lakers 120-94, dropping to 2-10 on the season. We'll talk about what happened in L.A. And we have 49ers injury report updates. Is George Kittle in or out this week against Arizona? We'll get to the bottom of it and talk to Radio.com football insider Ross Tucker at 8:05. And mark it down, Does Low Know will be on at a new time today at 7:15. A mystery guest will join the show, and Low will try to guess who it is. Listen in at 7:15. From video chatting with family to streaming music with friends, high-speed internet service from Wave brings you closer to the things you love and the people you care about the most. Right now, get high-speed internet starting in $19.95 a month for 6 months. Visit GoWave.com for details. I'm Anna Kagadikis on the Bay Area's number one sports station, 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Your final from Staples Center last night, the Anthony Davis-less Los Angeles Lakers 120, the Golden State Warriors 94. The Dubs fall to 2-10 on the season, 1-5 on the road. Here's where it starts to get alarming if you're holding out belief that things are going to turn around this year, which you shouldn't, and that's fine because this is obviously a transitional year. You come off five straight trips to the finals. I think we could all agree that if there's going to be a down year, we're not going to get too worked up about it. 120 or more points surrendered in 9 of 12 games this season. They're giving up an average of 121 points per game. They currently have a defensive rating that ranks them 30th in the NBA. I went through the NBA.com's advanced analytics page in defensive rating, and I went through every year they've had this tracked. It goes back to 96-97. No team has ever posted a worse defensive rating than what the Warriors currently own. So, let's put a positive spin on it. Nowhere to go but up.
Right.
There we go, gentlemen. Nowhere to go but up. But in the process, you beat up on the league long enough, now people want to beat up on you. Here's LeBron James after the win.
Is there something just kind of weird about playing a game against Golden State like that?
Not when you're in it. No, not when you're in it. I think when I'm watching them, when I'm at home and it's all, when I'm off nights and I'm watching them, then it becomes weird then just seeing Clay in the suit and, you know, not seeing Steph out there. But not when you're playing. I played them in the finals without Kyrie and Kevin. So, no.
Which literally had nothing to do with anything that was asked.
Right, right.
But sure enough, we got that in there.
Yeah, he's doing. I mean, yeah, they didn't ask that, but that's just a guy that, you know, that's just saying, hey, look, hey, I see what it's like. I know what it's like. I still went to the finals, and then the guy went into 9 straight finals, and he did. He played him in the finals without him. So it's just like saying, hey, look, I know what it's like not to have your superstars, your other superstars on the team. So it wasn't needed, but it was one of those shots that, hey, look, I've been in that situation. I'm not feeling sorry for you guys. This is just where it's at. Hey, deal with it. And the Warriors are doing a good job trying to deal with it, trying to get better. So LeBron's just not, you know, he's kicking dirt like everyone else will.
And it really isn't that weird. I mean, the question itself wasn't necessarily the best to elicit the response, I think, that he was looking for, because it happens all the time. Is it weird taking on Brooklyn without Kevin Durant and Kyrie? Yeah, it's probably a little weird to see Kevin Durant over there in a suit. Players get hurt.
Yeah.
And when Kawhi Leonard missed 74 games with San Antonio, it was probably weird to play the Spurs knowing that Kawhi was in New York. So we could talk about all the different situations I thought he gave a fine answer on that.
Yeah, the there's not a whole lot that worries me about this team. I know right now everyone's looking at the results, and you're not looking at the process. So, again, everyone looks and thinks, oh, my God, they're 2-10. Defense is getting shredded. Don't worry about all that. The stars are down. There's a lot this team's going to work through between now and next season. Only one team can host the Larry every year anyway. And if it's not going to be you this year, figure it out for how you can come back better next year. By the way, the other night, Bob Myers and the contingent were at Oregon State watching James Wiseman, the big man from Memphis, who's got a little controversy right now about whether or not he can or cannot play. Shout out the NCAA for always making everything less fun than it needs to be. But they were up there checking out Wiseman, right? More on that somewhere down the road. We don't need to get into potential draft picks for next year. The one thing that I thought about last night, though, that concerns me a little bit, just a little, is the idea that they were so good at being able to attract talent to come join them. Durant is the obvious big fish, but Boogie Cousins, David West, when he came over, there were a lot of guys who were willing to join this team for less or to take on a smaller role in order to be a part of what they had going on. I'm wondering if this season is going to tarnish that so much that when they are ready to go out and compete again next year and they try to amp up and ramp up the roster, some guys might look at it and be like, yeah, nah. They don't view Golden State the same way anymore, and the ability to bring in those recruits, because everyone wants to talk about Giannis. I'm not getting into that, but the idea of bringing in the big fish, financially, if you can make it work, from a personnel standpoint, if you can make it work, but instead of them saying yes, which is what all of them did, Boogie Cousins, Kevin Durant, they start saying no.
It's tarnished a little bit, in part because when you had Kevin Durant, it's easy to say, hey, I'll join this team. If you're DeMarcus Cousins, I choose you for the veteran mid-level because I want to win a championship. Now, didn't work out that way. Let's say this team ends up as the 30th best team in the league and they wind up in the lottery and they get a top three pick. They get another great player. Next year, there will be some veterans who see Steph back, see Clay back, see Draymond, see Steve Kerr, brand new building, good city to live in. These things are all still intact. Now, if you're that super megastar looking for a plug and play championship, this is not the destination. But if you're a good veteran looking for a good fit, it's still attractive, in my opinion.
This is a short attention span league, though. They're going to look at the Warriors after this year and think, man, these guys are old and injured. That could be the image. They're not the dynasty anymore.
Right.
That's the thing that worries me, is that when you go out and you try to bring in the big name, it's like, man, if I have the choice of going to join LeBron, or maybe I could end up joining what Kyrie and Kevin have going on in Brooklyn, or all of a sudden I can jump to Boston because the Celtics are red hot right now, or any other number of teams. Dallas is on the come, too. Watch the Mavericks. They are unbelievable to watch. They're a great league pass watch right now. Houston with Russ and Harden. Harden's out there last night telling you they're going to win the title this year. He's slapping his beard all over the place. Point being, the next big thing could be right around the corner. It could be joining Giannis in Milwaukee. It could be back to the Raptors. It could be any of these things. Philadelphia, Miami is on the rise as well. You come out and you're like, hey, come join us. That used to be, man, I can go there and I can get myself a ring. Like, it was a foregone conclusion. You join these guys, you got a ring. Now it's, well, y'all ain't the same. You're older, you're injured, and now something else has come up.
But I don't think that situation exists anywhere, because Houston, the Clippers, the Lakers, those are all teams that legit have a chance. And then you go to Utah, Denver, Dallas. So it's not the same as it was 3 years ago, where KD could look and say, if I join these guys right now, we're unbeatable. And that what turned out to be the case. I think now there's so many teams, to your point. I mean, Brooklyn, if KD comes back, and Toronto, by the way, is still strong, and Boston's been a beast in the East. I think now there's so many options that a player of maybe not KD's ilk, but a good veteran star could still choose Golden State but think that we're still in the mix.
But think about that. Now it's you have all these options. You didn't have those options 3 years
right.
ago. You either joined the Warriors and got the ring, or you eventually lost to the Warriors in the playoffs, whether it was through the West or coming out of the East. That's not going to be the case anymore. You join the Warriors, you take the same risk you'd take joining anybody else.
Well, I think that it's still somewhat the same. I think it was two teams for the last 5-6 years. If you were to join the Cavs, if KD decided to join the Cavs, guess what? Warriors don't get these titles. You had two teams that were in a situation where they had the most. Right now, you look in the West, and barring injuries, in my opinion, I could be wrong, I've been wrong a lot, but there's two teams I think that have the best chance in the West, and I think you guys know who that is. That's the Lakers and the Clippers, barring injuries. You look in the East, you know, you narrow down to three teams. You're going to look at Giannis, of course, Boston and 76ers. You're going to say, if you had, those are the three teams. So one great move shifts those powers to any. So I think it's just kind of it's the musical chairs right now. There's a, like you said, there's a little bit more teams that one guy can go to and can shift those dynamics. It's just I think that the league has a lot more parity.
Yeah,
especially at the top.
And parity among stars too, because is there a player at the end of this year, and let's just pretend that every player was a free agent, who's the one player who could move, change teams, and really change the fortune with the same impact that KD had when he left to come to the Warriors? I don't know if that player exists.
With LeBron.
Like, at the end of this year...
You said if all players were free agents...
At the end of this season, a 35-year-old LeBron would have that much impact?
Do you see what he's doing right now?
It's all JaVale McGee, coach. Watch the games. God.
I would say that, yes, he would be close to that, and I think you could make the case with Giannis as well, although if there was the argument and we really nitpicked it, no, he would be just below. But James, yeah, still James.
And Kawhi,
until James
too,
shows
I mean,
he can't play,
yeah,
then we have to assume that he can continue to play.
Watch
but to
JaVale,
your point,
coach,
there's
yeah,
only a small handful. It's all Rondo and McGee.
Walked
LA
him right into
now,
that, coach.
Yeah, that was nice.
You got me.
He was having fun. He was having fun last night.
All right, the Niners had an interesting back and forth when it came to George Kittle's status for this weekend. We got to talk about that, plus something even more alarming. Jim Trotter talked to some Seahawks players at the end of the game Monday night, and they revealed something that could be a big, big problem for the Niners in the very near future. We're going to have that for you next year on 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Can you beat the Arizona Cardinals without George Kittle? I want you to think about that for a moment because we're going to jump into it in a few minutes. It's Joe Lowendibs here on 95.7 The Game. Does Low Know is being expedited today. Rather than 7:45, which is the usual time, the mystery guest is set to join us at 7:15. So 25 minutes from now, Does Low Know, 7:15. Jim Trotter, formerly of Sports Illustrated, who's been covering the NFL for a very long time, you can find him now with NFL Media, was in the Seattle locker room after the 49ers lost to the Seahawks on Monday night. I'm going to read directly from a series of quotes via tweet that Trotter sent out. Interesting insight from the Seattle locker room after OT defeat of the 49ers. If it looked like the D had a good read on Jimmy G late, linebacker Bobby Wagner told me it was in part because he and KJ Wright began picking up on Jimmy's checks. A quote from Wagner. They're a team that runs so many different things that it's hard to get a tendency. But I felt like the last couple of times that we played them, we were able to figure out what they were doing. Because they run so many different things, it's a game where you have to be disciplined and you just have to read your keys. It becomes kind of like simple football. Read your keys, and it will take you to the football. Wagner concludes, once we started reading keys, me and KJ started hearing the calls and picked up on the checks he was making, and it allowed us to break faster. Is this a problem that apparently Garoppolo has a tell or that the checks are apparent to pick up by opposing linebackers like what Seattle's got out there?
Yeah, you got two smart guys that, you know, that any smart player can understand what you're doing if you have check, and you know if it's a check with me, if you then you start listening to the codes, if he uses an R, you know something, if it's right, there's L, if it's left, and you just start listening, whether it's a pass or a run, you can start understanding tendencies. If you're okay, if the guard's uncovered, okay, they've been running that, okay, here's the check, this is what it sounds like, this is what they've been doing when there's a guard bubble, meaning there's not a man over the guard as far as the defense. If the guard's uncovered, what are they doing? So as a linebacker, that's what you kind of look for, those keys. If the guard's light on his hands, if you see him pulling, you know that he's pulling. So you got to either hit that hole. And if you hit it the right way, you tell the other linebacker, hey, I'm going. Because you see the guard pull, he fires, and you see sometimes guys run in the backfield and tackle behind because of the fact they watch that guard. Like, how did that guy read that? He watched the guard, watch his key. Guard usually pulls. He's going to take you to where the ball's going. Fullback usually take you to where the ball going. So you can see different tendencies, but you got to be astute to understand that. So Jimmy G and then this team, they hear that. And now you see if Kyle Shanahan, okay, make some dummy calls. And if not dummy calls, then the play that I put in, let's just go with it.
So what now this is going to be out there. If you're any opponent, if you're Arizona and you just played Arizona a couple weeks ago, if you're Green Bay, if you're Baltimore, New Orleans, you're going to see this quote and your next thought is going to be, let's study the tape, let's listen maybe a little bit more than we watch and try to figure out what these tendencies are so we can get on them. We all remember a certain Super Bowl where someone didn't change any of his calls and it ended up in, what, a 30, 40-point beatdown in front of the entire world? You don't want something like that to happen again. So what does the offense do here? What's the counter?
Well, I think the biggest thing is that when you're playing football, teams know pretty much. You have a scouting report. We call it nowadays, they call it analytics. And you look at tendencies. You look at, okay, when teams are playing defensively, when they're playing cover two defense, you say, okay, we're going to go vertical with the receiver, the X or the Z. And I'm going to put speed out there. That means the corner's going to have to guard him. But since I'm going vertical, the safety has to play over the top. So now the middle of the field is open. And what some defensive teams did, they said, let's play the Tampa 2. That's where Tampa 2 came in, and you seen who the coach was. Now they took Derek Brooks, who was a fast inside linebacker, and they knew that the middle field people were going to try. So they said, I'm going to play Tampa 2. That means they're still playing too deep, but now I have my inside middle backer is going to play the deep third and get to the middle of the field to take that away. You got to have a fast guy to do that. So teams are evolving. Teams understand that. Every team, Joe, you know, that's like they know what Baltimore is going to do with Lamar Jackson, but they have the athletic ability and guys still execute. And no matter what, teams are going to know what you're going to do. Tendencies, I get that, but you still have to learn to beat them. And just like they know George Kittle, you're going to go to, but they still can't guard him. So athletes are going to have to make plays. It's going to be harder now because teams are starting to get to you and understand what you're doing, but you still got good enough athletes that they just got to win.
Do you change the calls, though? Like if it's Omaha, Peyton Manning, do you now change that? So when you get to the line of scrimmage, I think this is what Joe is asking.
But you can
do
dummy calls, too.
Right. Do you start to put those things in, though, now? Because Seattle, if the report is true, Seattle's hearing your calls, and they're knowing what you're getting into. Do you change the calls?
You can change your call, but also now, if you say that, okay, so usually I get the opportunity to change it, but now if Kyle Shanahan calls a play in, just run it. You stay with the play. So now you're in a situation where, okay, we're just going to stay with the play. So you still have those options, and some quarterbacks have the options to get to the line to check, 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 check. And then he checks it because he sees something that he wants, so it gives him liberty. You know, you see that happens when corners are playing off. Check, check, boom, and they just stand up and throw the ball over. So there's always going to be adjustments and little nuances of the game. But to combat that, you tell now, I think, Kyle Shanahan for a while. And after 8 weeks, you usually have that self-evaluation, usually every four games, but especially 8 weeks. You sit down and the coaches bring in all the numbers, all the analytics, and say, here's all the tendencies of what we're doing. And now you start switching.
Scout yourself.
Yes, exactly. That is huge. Every single team that I've been on at the end of that halfway point, it's like, okay, this is what we're doing. This is what we've been doing. We're going to keep doing these things, but here, now we're going to switch because teams, they have to scout. They scout you. They know this information. It's out there.
It's all
out
there.
So now you got to be able to adapt as well.
Yesterday, Kyle Shanahan was on a conference call with the media, local media, any national media that wants to get in on the call, and the Arizona media, as you're getting set for Sunday's game against the Cardinals. He said during the call that tight end George Kittle would not be available for the game. So the fact that Kittle was already ruled out, people start panicking a little bit. It's like, man, we saw what happened without George Monday night. George is a fan favorite. He's a highly productive player. Everyone seems to like him. Now to hear he's out for Arizona, obviously, how bad could this be? Before anyone even has a chance to go in a deep dive on that information, Shanahan then releases a statement, very quick follow-up, saying he has not officially been ruled out yet. So what are we supposed to make of this? A little switchola on a Wednesday. He's out, then quickly a statement comes out after clarifying, no, that was wrong. What I said earlier, not right. He has not been ruled out yet.
I think he misspoke on the conference call, and I also think that George Kittle is going to be out. But what Kyle Shanahan intended to say was, you know, he's in the same situation as he was for the Seattle game. There's been no change. For the Seattle game, he was doubtful, and then he was ruled out in the appropriate time frame. And right now, being on Wednesday low, he could have a sort of recovery to where maybe he could go, but most likely George Kittle's in the same situation, which is he's doubtful right now on Wednesday, probably doubtful on Thursday, maybe by Saturday if he hasn't been on the field, then you rule him out. But there's no real benefit at this point. If a guy was doubtful last week, he wouldn't just rule him out now unless he had some sort of setback.
If I'm coach, I don't play him. I don't play him Arizona. I don't care if he says – I think that it's got to be a 1,000% getting better. I'm saving this guy. I'm saving
Green Bay's on deck.
Exactly. I'm looking at Green Bay. If not Green Bay, I'm looking at the following week. I don't.
And you play every week now. There's no more mini bye. There's no more maxi bye. You play every 7 days.
Yeah, you know what, though, coach? With me, you did it. Bravo, you did it. You're in a position. You got some games in there. You know you can get to 11. You can hopefully get to 11 wins, 10, 11 wins, and get in the playoffs. I've seen enough. I've seen enough to understand I want this team healthy for the playoffs. I don't care if Kittle doesn't play in the next 2-3 weeks. I really don't care. I don't necessarily – there's one team, in my opinion, right now that you look at, barring injuries, if the Niners are healthy, there's only one team that gives me any fear that in the NFC, and that's the team you lost to, Seattle, because of the fact you got Russell Wilson and what he can do from a scramble and from a schematic point of view, because there's no answer for that type of guy. I see this team. We already talked about the defense, all the players that they have. Healthy, you get these guys together, get Emmanuel back, get all those guys ready. You just got to get in. I just really look at the NFC and say, if this team gets healthy in the play, if they're healthy, you're going to need Kittle. You're going to need him in the playoffs. You can't win in the playoffs without him. So in my appointment, if you healthy, I think that you have a very, very good chance. So I don't want to rush George Kittle back. You should beat
all
Arizona.
Right. Awesome. I got 10 follow-ups for that. I want to get us legal first. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM. And let me just start again. You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM and HD1, San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Good morning and welcome to your 7 o'clock hour of Joe Low and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Does Low know? Coming up in 15 minutes. Every Thursday, mystery guest on the dial pad guest line. Low has 10 questions to figure it out. We normally do it at 7:45. It's been bumped up today. The mystery guest is a very busy individual. 7:15 is when that person will join us. Ross Tucker at 8:05, Brad Evans at 9:05. So you're saying you've seen enough. Health is the primary concern for this team. You believe the Niners can beat Arizona, currently an 11-point favorite, depending on where you look, without George Kittle. So we can come back and circle to all that. You feel that Seattle's the biggest threat. But when you talk about just getting in and being healthy, what does just getting in mean? Wild card? Well, like just getting in, you're fine with a wild card as long as everyone's healthy.
Yeah, I really believe, Joe, if this team gets in a wild card, and I would love to see Seattle, if they have to be in it, the NFC Championship. I don't want to see them necessarily, but if you get in, just the quarterbacks alone, what I've seen enough. You get me any of these quarterbacks, Drew Brees, all these guys in NFC who can throw the ball better than Russell Wilson. To some of these guys in NFC, I think they're not faster than Russell Wilson. But I'm just talking about in the pocket, their pocket presence. They are pocket quarterbacks. There is not a pocket quarterback that can beat this team. If you have a pocket quarterback that's going to stay in the pocket and make his living in the pocket, you're not beating the Niners.
Even Aaron Rodgers, Green Bay Packers.
Aaron Rodgers,
I know he's a little bit of a hybrid because he will drift out of the pocket.
And he's a hybrid.
Is he in that category or no?
He's on the fringe of that. So I don't think he
Brady's in that category, right?
Yes.
Your category. Okay.
Absolutely.
I'm just trying to figure out where we're at. So Brady's in the category. Breeze is in the category. Yeah. Philip Rivers,
Matt Ryan, guys they still have left to play.
Yeah, okay.
I don't fear
Jared Goff.
Jared Goff. I don't.
But you put Rodgers in the mobile quarterback category, the one that can beat you. All right.
If you take
just the way he kind of boogies out of the pocket.
Yes.
He's only a threat to run like once or twice a game. When he needs 8, he's going to get you 9 and slide, but
as opposed to Kirk Cousins who gets you 7 when no one's in front of you and he just goes down.
And that's the
Tua did that, by the way, as well. Cousins did that, and then I bet Tua and Bama last week, Tua did the same thing. He slid early, and then he got up and looked. It was, and then they punted away, and LSU went right down the field and scored.
Oops.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, that's not your number one pick. Just throwing that one out there. When all your receivers are running free on every play, anybody's going to look good in that situation. I'm telling you, someone is going to buy that Tua hype, and they are going to regret that for 5 years. But anyway, back to this point. So you are of the belief health is the primary concern. You're good with a wild card spot.
I promise I am now. At first I wasn't.
That means nothing but road games in the playoffs.
I'm going to tell you right now.
And it also means 3 games in the NFC rather than a potential 2 if you get that bye.
I'm going to tell you right now. Barring injuries, if this team don't make a Super Bowl, I'm disappointed. That's how much I watch and just look at from a distance and saying, okay, health is the main priority. With this defense, we've all said this is a championship defense. I'm telling you, you get a quarterback to stay in that pot, it's no way. These guys get healthy. You start getting this offensive line healthy. You have healthy running backs. You have George Kittle and you have Emmanuel. I don't see it. Those are the only two quarterbacks that kind of scare Russell Moore because he does more scramble and then slightly A-Rod. I don't care if
so you
go on the road to the
can,
Saints.
They yeah. can beat Arizona still. They can beat New Orleans now based on this the way you're laying this out.
Hell, yeah, but that's with Kittle. But you got to realize that's health. That's health. Now, they're going to lose. What I'm saying is I laid out a scenario that they might lose more than two games or more than three games.
Right.
I'm telling you, I don't care anymore as long as they're healthy for the playoffs. Give me a healthy Niner team, healthy defense, healthy offense. I'll take them anywhere.
So you guys is that reasonable to say, though? I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying if they're healthy, we're good. This is the NFL. It seems like no one's ever healthy. That's like a big ask, isn't it?
It's a huge ask, but I'm saying reasonable. Just my key healthy people. Give me a healthy running backs and give me a healthy tight end.
All the running backs healthy? Do Breida and Coleman both need to be healthy?
No.
But one of them needs to be.
One of them need to be.
Okay. Sanders, I take it, needs to be healthy.
At 1,000.
Kittle needs to be healthy.
And Debo needs to be healthy.
Give
me those three guys healthy. Make sure my offense.
Even if it's at 11-5, let's just say. Let's say 11-5, but those three guys are as close to health as you would want, as opposed to 13-3, and then Emmanuel played through the rib, and then Kittle played through the knee, and we're not sure where they are.
Let me tell you something right now. If you're number one seed, and if you don't have Kittle, I'd rather be number three seed and go on the road. I promise you, I feel 1,000% better than being at home. And I guarantee you, those men on that team do too. I can be the number one seed, and I don't have two. Like I don't have E-Man, I don't have Emmanuel, don't have Kittle. And you said if I could be healthy though and go on the road, give me the Niners. Health is everything right now. You guys are starting to see that.
With a Niner team going to, let's say, Philly or Dallas, a likely four seed would be the NFC East champ.
Yes.
Yeah, but that's okay. Great. That's the wild card round. We're at this point now where the season has gone so well. Getting in and winning the wild card round probably isn't going to be viewed as a huge accomplishment. By this standard, I see what he's saying. The point is how important the health is.
That's right.
But if you get the wild card and you end up in Seattle in the divisional round, good night. Good night. If you end up at Lambeau in the divisional round, I don't feel very confident with that. I'm sorry. If you have to go to Lambeau in January and it's 6 degrees, these guys aren't built for that. How many of these guys? All right, Garoppolo's from Illinois. I get it. But that's the whole Bane line with the darkness. I was born in it, molded by it. That's who the Packers are. You're not going to shake the Packers if it's -4 degrees and it's a snowstorm. They already played in the snow. In early November, they've already had their first snow game while the Niners were playing in literal perfect temperatures with no wind and no precipitation Monday night against Seattle. I don't like the idea of having to go to Green Bay in the playoffs. I don't like the idea of having to go to Seattle in the playoffs. I don't like the idea of having to go to New Orleans in the playoffs. Dallas, sure. Dallas's coach will take them right out of the game. They've got all the talent in the world, and they are so poorly managed. I'm not worried about the Cowboys, and the Eagles are so damn banged up, I'm not necessarily worried about having to get past Philadelphia. They have major glaring holes all over the place. The secondary's terrible. So
what about their
health? The NFC East doesn't worry me.
Okay, so where are you at as far as health versus being a number one seed? If you knew Kittle wasn't out, how do you feel when I'm just talking about health versus the number one seed?
I look at this. You and I are talking about similar things in different ways.
I know.
So the health perspective, yes. You're going to need Kittle and Sanders. If you don't have both, you're not going. You just saw what happened Monday night when you find yourself in a game where you have to win in the margins. You weren't able to overcome all your mistakes. You overcame the mistakes against Pittsburgh because they were lousy and starting a second-year quarterback who had no experience. You were able to overcome the mistakes against Tampa. Guess why? Because Tampa makes so many mistakes, they cannot get out of their own way. You've made mistakes in games, and you've overcome because you have superior talent, superior coaching. But you went up against a really good coach and a really good quarterback.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.